Welcome to another episode of Campus, a novel that wants to be a musical, by Katie Winkler. This is episode 11, The Spooky Cat Head Biscuit. Dr. Dagg made it out of the very long meeting with Mr. Mediocrity, more about that later, exhausted from smiling and bowing and scraping, you know, with no time for a decent dinner with or without Miss Sabowski. No, he had to get to the Spooky Cat Head Biscuit concert, didn't he? That's right, like he has said a million times before. A chancellor's work is never done. Nobody works harder than he does. He made his way to the stage in the quad. He sighed as he heard the unmistakable sounds of the Spooky Cat Head Biscuits warming up for the evening's concert. Oh, what fun. Oh, there was his favorite student. Well, favorite guy student. Corey Hollifield III, standing by the drink coolers with another tall youth. A very clean-cut guy, not one of Corey's usual followers. What was Corey putting in that drink? Dr. Dagg chuckled. He had a good guess. Ah, youth. Corey Hollifield III thought the easiest and quickest way to do what Mr. Mediocrity wanted, namely getting that kid Jack addicted to shrooms, was to trick the Christmassian kid into drinking his special tea brewed with his gnome homegrown, only found in the woods surrounding Dog Hobble, and particularly pungent. It was all so easy and boring. After getting his marching orders from Mr. Mediocrity, Corey had sent some of his minions searching for the kid. It didn't take long before they found him, still at the computers trying to figure out his class schedule. Once Corey knew the schmuck's location, it was just a matter of using the old Hollifield charm. He identified himself as one of the formerly known Fellowship of They Who Shall Not Be Named Because It Isn't Politically Correct athletes, which really seemed to impress this dude. After that, it was a piece of cake to talk the guy into meeting him at the Spooky Cathead Biscuit concert after he went home to get a late tomato sandwich lunch and some homemade apple pie. Didn't sound half bad the way the kid explained it, and Corey said so. But then the guy invited Corey to have a bite. No way! He would not get caught dead in a Christmassian's house. He would never hear the end of it. But for a few seconds, when Jack explained that a homemade pie was different than the pie you got at the grocery store, he was a bit tempted. Anyway, it was arranged for Corey to meet Jack by the drink coolers under the concession tent at 6:30, and the concert would start at 7. Corey popped open a can of soda and poured in the vial of shroom tea. "Here you go," he said, passing the drink to Jack as the Spooky Cat Head Biscuits began to play. Easy as that homemade pie. Jill had not planned to go to the concert, but her friend Stacy felt guilty about making Jill late to sign up for classes and insisted that Jill go and enjoy herself. Jill said okay. Something told her to say yes. She wasn't going to college for any of that. But going to the concert, even one she had no interest in going to, seemed right somehow. She kissed her little girl and left, saying that she wouldn't stay much more than an hour. She had gone to the Big Dipper ice cream shop where she took Sarah sometimes for an extra special treat. She needed one after the day she had. She bought a scoop of mint chocolate chip on a waffle cone and walked across the street to campus, sitting at a bench on the far side of the quad in the shadow of an old willow, an outsider. Oh, she didn't know what she had been thinking. Why should she torture herself? What if Corey was there? Then again, she couldn't just leave now. Something had told her to be here. Besides, it was nice of Stacy to offer to keep Sarah, and she didn't want to lie about not going to the concert. She could hear the band warming up and figured she didn't need to get much closer to hear anyway. That's when she saw that Corey Holofield III talking to that annoying but cute Chris Amassian that she had met that morning. Oh, it seemed like months ago. She remembered only too well how persuasive Corey could be if you were an innocent like that kid, like she had been. She tried to get up and run across the quad as quickly as she could. She did try, but it was as if the bench held her tightly. She couldn't move, could not move. But someone had to save him. She stared at the water cooler and the vampire reaching out, offering the kid a drink, a little mushroom tea, no doubt. Offering the kid friendship and acceptance and fun, an escape from this town. Can't you see it's a trap? She wanted to cry out to him. But she couldn't, could not. Hopeless, she closed her eyes. She had felt different since this morning. Something was different. She closed her eyes and felt the cold mint chocolate chips stream down her hand and summon someone to help that boy. As the Spooky Cat Head Biscuits began to play. All full-time faculty were required to be at the Club Rush Advising Registration Day annual concert. Mrs. Whitaker may be seen as a rebel by some, but she was really more compliant than even her friends realized. She had her own stern internal administrator who was stricter than any she had ever known. Besides, the new teacher needed mentoring and blah, blah, blah. Speaking of her mentee, she was standing right next to her at the campus bling table. You know, all the cheap marketing paraphernalia with the campus logo, pens, hand sanitizer, and bottles of water, all blue and silver. Mrs. Whitaker, hearing the band, thought that they were too near to the stage. She always thought of anywhere on the quad would be too close. Suddenly she felt the call. It was faint, new, but unmistakable. The call of a fairy, dust-sprinkled student in distress. Just as the Spooky Cat Head Biscuits began to play. "Did you hear that?" she said to no one. But Melody, getting a bit bored, if truth be told, heard her. "Hear what?" Mrs. Whitaker looked around, but classes hadn't even started. How could... Then she remembered that she had sprinkled a girl that morning. Oh, it seemed like months ago. She closed her eyes. "Yes, it was Jill, the young mother." "It's Jill." "Jill? A student we registered this morning, remember?" "Not really. I'm not that good with names." "She had red hair, a single mother. I sprinkled her." "Oh, yes, I remember now." Mrs. Whitaker frantically looked around until she spied Ms. McBride. "Barbara," she waved. "Barbara," to no avail. She turned to Melody. "Go get Mrs. McBride." Melody hesitated. "Quick now." Mrs. Whitaker pointed to Ms. McBride. "She's over there in the polka dot dress and big hat. Can't miss her." Ms. Whitaker watched as the little gnome made her way through the crowd and brought Ms. McBride to the table.
Oh, Sue, I think Jack's in trouble."
No, it's Jill." Melody looked confused. But how? Why? What?" Both fairy god teachers ignored her. Not to be mean, they were just on high alert, as all good fairy god teachers are.
"Oh no!" Barbara fluttered her wings, rising a bit off the ground. "Both in trouble already!"
Barbara scanned the crowd. "It's gonna be a rough year." Barbara put her hand to her ear as the band heated up.
"What's that?"
Mrs. Whitaker was going to answer her when suddenly Barbara let out a squeak and pointed wildly in the direction of the water cooler.
"It's Jack and that little bastard Corey Holofield III! Before Mrs. Whitaker could stop her, Ms. McBride had disappeared into the crowd, headed for the drink coolers. She was impressed with Ms. McBride's sudden, fiery outburst, quite wonderfully out of character. She looked down at the little new teacher. Was it too soon for her to see the realities of real, meaningful teaching? Doing more than simply following some standardized curriculum? More than disseminating information using the latest, most expensive textbooks and prepackaged supplemental materials? Was it ever too soon to learn how to draw on your powers of perception, to try to make a student's life better, to intervene, even if it means trouble? Was it too soon to teach her to follow her heart? She looked at Melody and felt that other call, the one she suppressed. If Melody were her daughter, she would plead with her, "Don't be a teacher. Stay away. Your heart will be broken day after day for as long as you can stand it. Then you'll give in, spread no more sparkly dust, and fold up your wings forever." Mrs. Whitaker said nothing, but then an amazing thing happened. Melody looked up at Mrs. Whitaker, puffed up her little chest, and took a deep breath. "Do you mind if I'm gone just a minute or two? I'd like to follow Ms. McBride." "Of course," said Mrs. Whitaker. "Of course." Mrs. Whitaker watched her go, proud of her, fearing for her, while Jill, not really knowing what she was seeing, watched from the old willow. They watched a masterful fairy godteacher at work, knocking the water shroom tea mixture out of her beautiful math boy's hands before he could set it to his lips. Then Corey saying something, and Ms. McBride saying something forcefully. Then Corey saying something else, and Ms. McBride saying something else. But Jack and a little gnome saying nothing. Just standing there behind this brave fairy godteacher, amazed and protected. Cody waved his hand dismissively and walked away with his minions, who laughed and poked each other in the ribs as the band played on. I see it in your eyes. You don't want to feel, well, hey, neither did I. You want to go numb, don't break down and cry. You know what time it is. Time to zombify. Don't you know my secret to success is letting myself go, getting lost in emptiness. You're getting close now, don't stop now, just try. You know what time it is, it's time to zombify. Zombify me.
my hair! Grab my hair! Bash my face! It don't matter! I'm already dead! Electrify me! Slice and dice me! Countryfy me! Stupefy me! Mortify me!
What happened? What did Miss McBride say to that kid? What did Corey and his minions say back to her? Will she get in trouble for knocking that drug-laced drink out of Corey's hand? Perhaps the most important question of all, was either Corey or Jack embarrassed by Miss McBride's behavior? Was either one made to feel a little uncomfortable by this math instructor's intervention in a non-academic setting? Is her behavior or the erratic, non-prescribed, unconventional methods of these fairy god teachers dangerous to the defining characteristic of the College of Applied Multipurposes United in Simplicity? You'll have to come back and listen to the next episode to find out. Katie Winkler, author of Campus Here, so glad you could join me for another episode. This episode featured two fantastic rock songs from freemusicarchive.org. including Robert Abraham's When the Dead Wake Up and Rock Thing by Creo that I used as the music for my song Zombify Me. Both songs were made possible by these artists through the Creative Commons 4.0 International License Agreement. Once again, I am so thankful to my friends and sponsors Angela Cantola and Don Wallace. Also, I'm indebted to Anchor that makes podcasting easy and free. And a final shout out to Audacity, free open source cross-platform audio software. What would I do without you guys? Okay, that's a wrap, folks. Be on the lookout for the next episode of Campus, a novel that wants to be a musical. Ta-ta for now.